Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. Hello, listener. Greetings, fellow GM and or player. Welcome to episode 91 of Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker, and I'm transmitting to you today from the Obsidian Monolith somewhere outside time and space. So I have another actual play episode for you today of a D&D game in my homebrew world of Primordia. So I am going to have some discussion of this session at the end of the episode. So I will save my yammering for then. So without further ado, let's get on to the adventure. Steve, last week, you missed some carnage, man.
I died.
I was kind of wondering. Oh, shit.
Yeah, Chrissy died. Or her character died.
So you're playing a new character now?
Nope.
No, she. Well, I guess I shouldn't tell you because you weren't there. I'll let someone in character tell you what happened.
Cool.
So I kind of changed it a little bit. Instead of saying they took you to the farm, we'll just say that you hung out at the campsite in the woods. Okay. So that way we don't have to deal with them going to get you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a drain on the party, but if we can minimize that, that would be great.
Yeah. So yeah, you were out of commission for a day.
Guess who gets watch duty tonight while everybody else sleeps?
Maybe you had the runs or something. That'd be pretty hilarious. But
what about Sprout? We can stick him with that, right?
Sprout left.
He's the one who needs sleep the most.
He quit.
He quit because he passed out too many times.
Yeah. Last session was rough. Samson took 17 to the face and he couldn't heal it back for the whole thing.
Well, it was the white because it dropped your maximum. Wasn't that
the
whole?
Yeah. The shadow hit me, critted me. I got hit twice. Two crits.
Yeah.
First crit made my max HP 10. The second crit on another encounter knocked me right out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Lex was rolling hot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I crit on Nathan like three times.
The only times I got hit were a crit.
That's the nice thing about Roll 20. At least no one can say I'm cheating because everybody
if you can't hit them, crit them, right?
That's right.
Nothing I can do about crits.
So this will be interesting tonight because I had the next adventure planned for like a couple weeks now. But I hadn't worked out all the details and I was getting writer's block on the details today. So like 2 hours before we played, I didn't scrap the idea. I'm still going to do it later, but I came up with something totally different. So a little bit of improv tonight.
All right.
No, I'm good with that.
That's if we even get, we may not even get that far. I you never know how far you're going to get. I have some lore.
You have some what? Lore?
Yeah, I did some, came up with some stuff. I haven't typed it up yet. So I thought it might be important to know what temples are in Alandria, just in case you guys ever need someone resurrected or something. Not that that would ever happen. So there is a temple to Iun, who is the goddess of knowledge, civilization, history, trade, crafting, and culture. Hanali, goddess of love, fertility, beauty, pleasure, healing, protection, and Sehanin, goddess of magic and creation. So those are the three temples. And there might be some smaller shrines to other gods, probably are. And I decided that the patrons of your organization of the guild are Iun and Sehanin. And within the guild, they're often seen as sisters. And so the goals of the guild are to create, maintain, and protect the portals. Increase magical knowledge and power by retrieving lost lore and researching new spells and magic items. Increase historical and current knowledge by exploring the world and ancient ruins. Preserve as much of this knowledge as possible. And protect people and cities from the horrors in the wilds. Not horrors, horrors. It kind of sounds the same. They both sound the same when I see them.
It's supposed to be a lot of stuff for us to do, you know?
Like, yeah, it's a lot to do.
They're asking a lot of us.
We'll start out. You guys are in camp. You've had your long rest. And maybe Wraith was asleep when you got back or something. Or for some reason, you guys just really haven't talked much. So that you can do that now. And you can tell Wraith what he missed.
He's like sitting there like acting as if he wasn't hurt.
Well, you've had plenty of time to rest. You don't even know what we've been through down there. Absolutely. Yes.
It's a wonder you survived without me.
It is a wonder. And Samson, looking kind of quizzically at Azriel, who is Chrissy, says, yeah, it is a wonder that we survived.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he didn't. She died.
Wraith looks around like he's looking for some other confirmation, but like his eyes flick to York, and he's like, he immediately looks past him. He's like, no, Azriel is true.
Toad is gone, and when I awoke from a slumber that I was put in not so carefully, I was not tucked in so gently with a kiss, but more with the blow of a blade. She had no life about her. There she stands.
But perhaps
you... Do you know that for certain? Did you come to me and verify this fact?
I mean, I wasn't worried with the situation. The thing was going to kill the kid.
Yeah.
And how do you know that I was not just in a not-so-nice slumber like yourself?
Because even in not-so-nice of a slumber, my one draws breath.
Did you get close enough to verify whether or not I drew breath?
How I did not know that I did. Look on your breath. That is true.
Azriel, you've yet to lie to me, to my knowledge. Did you die or did you not?
I stand. Do I not?
It's not an answer.
If I stand before you, then how would I have died?
You answer questions with questions. That's not an answer again. Do you deny it or not?
I do not know.
Back in a place that I call home, it is not uncommon, well, uncommon not being the right word, it is not unheard of for certain practitioners. I don't know how much any of you know about the Order of the Butterfly, out of character to any of you. I mean, they're not particularly secretive, but their members are not absolutely outstanding. I mean, they have a reputation.
I think anybody from the city would know of them as far as like the dancing school, but the whole psionics part is probably pretty on the down low for the most part.
It is not uncommon that one of my patrons, I guess that's the word we would use for it these days, would see one of the brothers who had fallen from exhaustion, whose heart would stop, but would come back alive, though they would always come back alive very changed. I don't know how changed he is at this time. Or maybe I was wrong.
There's something suspect about this. If only there were more opinions to solicit. And he looks over at York again and then looks away like, I'm not getting this guy's opinion. He'll just lie to me and try to get me underneath some dead bug.
I guess it's not that important. Maybe she can do such a great trick again.
An undying ally would be a fine thing. What of our other ally? Where did the big one go?
Where did the big one go? I was too worried with getting out of that accursed hole.
I believe did Dwayne said when you guys out? When you guys left the tomb that he was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think that's basically the alarm.
He's like, screw you guys. I'm going home.
I think the prospects, Samson says to Wraith, I think the prospects of this whole business was not for his homey ways.
He did not seem well suited to it, I will say that.
The tomb does continue, right? We did not reach its very dark depths.
Well, I am ready if the rest of you are.
Samson looks unwearily at Azriel. He's not 100% sold on what he saw in that tomb, for he himself has experienced some not so
good
things.
To be fair, nobody actually went up to her and verified that she was in fact dead. The only evidence you have that she was dead is that the monster walked away from her.
The fact that she was so evasive definitely concerns Wraith.
Well, and also remember that there was some strange things happening. Yeah. Like there was the weird, like, it got cold and there was this feeling of strangeness.
She's probably possessed
by... See, but they didn't bring that up.
Yeah, so...
It's cool.
And I don't even know if Samson would have realized that at the heat of the moment. He was fighting that thing. And very wounded and concerned. But he is neither wounded nor particularly concerned at this moment, so...
Are we going back? There's more.
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise, we don't get to join, right? We don't get to join the crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have business, and I'd be very curious as to see what that moaning is that's coming from the very depths of that place.
Oh, yeah. We've got to find that out.
Azure's just like, wait, why did we actually come here again? Because were we looking for something, or were we trying to kill something? I forgot.
No, I think if we clear this, we get to join the Adventurers Guild or whatever.
Yeah, so we're killing things. We're not looking for something.
Well, I think...
I don't think there's a MacGuffin, no.
I think we're planning to search it and to clear out any evil beings.
Well, remember, if you guys bring back anything of, like, historic significance or any kind of knowledge, the guild likes that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we got that journal.
Yeah.
We know that there's more people coming tomorrow, was my understanding, which means, I guess, today...
Well, you don't know when. You were just told, I think it was Mastig actually told you that, you know, eventually they'll send someone to check this out, and if it checks out, then they'll send an actual group.
Yeah. We got the hot tip. At the end of, and I haven't actually labeled this out yet, at the end of our rest, I'll use Strength of Mind to change my save from Dexterity to Constitution.
Okay.
Because if anything does what anything has done so far, I'd rather not. But now, knowing my luck, I'll change it and everything will be dex saving throws. Samson's ready to go.
Yeah, let's do this.
It's boogie.
Azrael's way more enthusiastic about going in here than she was on any of the other days, which is pretty impressive considering she was pretty enthusiastic to begin with.
Cool.
Nice.
Who's first? I think Samson, I think you're first, right?
Yep. We make our way back to the tomb.
When we first enter, Wraith wants to listen to see if there's any sounds that are new or different from the last time we were here.
Okay. It sounds similar. You still hear the moaning every once in a while coming from within.
Oh, and of course, I have Azrael light me up if she's so obliged to.
Yep. Just you know, nice little dull muted periwinkle light.
Oh, 21 perception. Let's see. Do you hear anything else? No. That's a really good roll, though.
Don't hear anything.
Okay.
Else.
Just Samson, kind of carefully. I mean, we have walked these halls enough times, so now he's been here. He's been down up and down these halls more time than some places in Alandria. What is this, by the way?
That's thing? That fake door that was trapped.
Fake door.
Oh, you should try to open it.
Perhaps you should try.
I already tried.
Samson, yeah, I forgot to tell you on that wall behind the door, the word sucker was painted.
Oh, nice.
Thick move.
Samson will... Oh, go ahead.
What was in here as we walked by? Like, was that circle still there?
Yeah, it's like part of the floor.
Did we investigate the circle at all to figure out what its purpose or powers were?
Yeah, Azrael did.
Okay.
Samson will point out to Wraith the corpse of the mimic that we fought.
I blame one of us for that.
And here he'll label out that we fought a white that came from here. Azrael, he was down. The fight kind of ended over here.
We defeated it, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Kicked its ass.
We also killed something else in this doorway.
Yeah, there was some kind of dark figure that we fought here. We fought some skeletons in here, a big one and a little one, and then the white died over here. He was of the fury. And so now we
Azrael summons out her packed weapon. It'd be the first time Wraith saw it. A scythe blade just comes out from the end of her staff, and it's all like purpley and swirly, and if you stare at it too long, it kinda draws your eyes in.
Whoa.
Did you bring that back from the other side?
It comes from another side, maybe. So these are just stairs that descend and descend and descend.
Yeah, it goes down three stories, basically.
All right, let's hold on a second. Let's listen first. I'll do a listen, or Wraith will.
You'll listen with you.
All right. You hear the moaning, and that's it.
My pointy ears hear nothing but moaning.
All right. We should keep an eye out. This place is trapped. We should keep an eye out for traps. So let's go slow. Let's go like at a slow movement and be checking for traps as we go.
Be wary of any pressure plates or trip wires.
Yes.
Samson will peer around this corner.
All right. So you're peering around the corner. Big room. Let's see.
Samson makes hand gestures.
The walls of this room are crude, as if drawn by a pencil.
All right. So this room is a gallery, like art gallery, basically. There are paintings and tapestries on the walls. Most of the paintings are pretty bad off, pretty deteriorated, to the point that a lot of them you can't even tell what they originally were of. However, the tapestries, although kind of covered in like black soot, they're still, you can kind of see what they are. There are also like little statues on little columns and stuff. And the kind of the theme of all the art in here is a woman with long hair, obviously a noble, you know, in like really fancy clothes. And a couple of the tapestries, like if you kind of wipe the soot off or whatever, you can see that her hair is bright red. And some of them are just likenesses of her, but a lot of them show her like helping people, like giving food to poor people or tending to sick people. And she's always helping like peasants, basically. And you see a symbol quite a bit. Actually, I'll show you that later. But you see a symbol with her image a lot of a raven with like a red eye, or sometimes the raven itself is red. And at this point, Steve, I don't remember how much I told you about that scroll you had, but you had a whole day to kind of go through it. So basically, hundreds of years ago, Alondria was the capital city of a nation. And during a certain time, there was a princess who was known as the Red Raven. For whatever reason, she took that as her sigil, probably partly because she had this like flaming red hair. And she was very loved by the people. Like she was very like all about humanitarian stuff and, you know, feeding the poor and helping the poor. And this was a time when the kingdom was losing. It was starting to draw in because the more distant towns and villages, like it couldn't protect them and things were getting worse. And so this was when a lot of the other towns and villages were lost. And she would often go out to these kind of faraway places and, you know, help with the injured or, you know, do whatever she could. And her chief bodyguard formed an order that was called the Knighthood of the Red Raven, that were kind of like elite bodyguards. And they would go with her when she would leave the city and go to these far-flung places to help people and protect her. And the scroll that you have seems to have been written by this knight that created the order.
Okay.
And like I said before, like he kind of had a crush on her. It seems from the scrolls that they were at least somewhat romantically involved, though it's unclear like how far that went. And towards the end of the scroll, he starts talking about one of his brothers in the knighthood that he has basically caught with this princess, like romantically engaged. And he over time just gets more and more angry and jealous. And you can tell from the writings that he's kind of starting to become unhinged a little bit. And some of the last entries, he talks about getting his revenge on this other knight, but he's never really clear like what exactly he means by that.
Interesting. Okay. So like, as we like look at this room, Wraith relays like the essence of that, particularly that this would appear to be items relating to this person known as the Red Raven. In terms of the room itself, like, does this look like, does it look like a place where she might have been buried, or more so like if you were a crazy person and you were obsessed with somebody and you wanted to put together a little shrine, like, is it that type of?
It looks, you probably at this point you would guess that her tomb is in here somewhere. And okay, this room seems to be like celebrating her life and like all of her deeds that she was remembered for.
I mean, what's the general ethics on grave robbing in this part of Primordia?
We have no problem with it.
Well, see, yeah, that's the thing. They don't really have a concept like we do of like preserving things archaeologically, you know? Right. And the thing is you guys have seen that the earlier parts of this tomb have already been like completely looted of anything remotely valuable. So now that you guys have proceeded to destroy, you know, the creatures that were in here, you know, it basically, if you don't take stuff, probably someone else will. And at the very least, anything that's might have any knowledge or anything associated with it, you can sell to the guild, and like they give you like market value or whatever for it. And then they like basically put it in a museum or
something. Right. It'll be preserved, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So we know that we're not like just pillaging this place.
So
okay.
It's basically a way that you guys can be tomb robbers without actually being tomb robbers.
So pretty much everything we take, we're going, you belong in a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's something like, I don't know, like say you find this magic sword or something that has historical significance, but obviously it's something you want to keep because it's useful, like something like that, they would just want to get a chance to study it, but they would let you keep it, you know? Okay. Like, so you don't have to worry about, oh, let's not tell them we found this thing.
Right.
Usually the stuff they want, you wouldn't want anyway. You would just sell it anyway. So
this room is full of old tattered paintings and stuff.
Yeah. And little statues and
stuff. Okay. Do we want to go through this a little bit for lootage?
What we could do, Wraith could take the time to use Detect Magic as a ritual just to see if there's anything magical about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I will say, as far as like the artwork, it's all like some of the tapestries might have some historical value if they're cleaned up, but everything's so deteriorated, it's not really worth anything. And it's covered with this black soot, which a lot of the stuff in this tomb has been, like almost like there was a fire or something. And remember, this whole place is kind of unnaturally warm for some reason.
Okay. So I think what we'll do is, like, we can come back and collect all this. While Wraith is casting Detect Magic, we can start gathering up, like, rolling up the tapestries, cutting the paintings out, you know. Yeah.
While you guys are doing that, Azriel's just going to watch the hallways and make
good idea.
Okay.
Good idea.
With her dark vision.
I will be doing such as what Steve said, but I will be doing it this time using Mage Hand. So I'm moving shit around, but I'm going to be 30 feet away because that's the range of Mage Hand. And yeah, I'll be doing that, kind of going through stuff, basically moving stuff. I would kind of want to just get an inventory. Whatever inventory I can in the 10 minutes it takes Wraith to cast the spell. Okay. And I just kind of want to look around as much as I can. So I guess I would have to move kind of into the middle of the room a little bit. I can reach everything from there. Yeah. So
that's about it.
All right. Chrissy, make me a perception roll.
almost tried to make you a performance roll instead.
Okay, cool. All right. So Wraith, you cast your Detect Magic ritual. 10 minutes okay. Go by. And Yorick's cleaning. And you don't sense anything magical in this room.
Perfect. Nothing magical here.
And it's much less like I'm cleaning with the Mage Hand as it is I'm like picking something up and just kind of throwing it to the side to get to see what's behind it. So it'll be a bigger mess by the time I'm done.
Than gotcha.
Gotcha. And I will not pick up my room. I don't care what you say.
Wraith, like when he's casting the spell, angles his vision so he doesn't have to look at Yorick while he's doing that. Like,
All right.
So I guess we'll proceed.
Nothing in there. So you want me to light it up? I can firebolt this shit. No? Okay. Whatever you say. I like you, Wraith. I'm gonna stay close to you. And he goes up and he tries to hold your hand again.
he moves away very quickly.
Samson watching the loving father son bond forming will walk himself out down this hallway a bit on this room with utter horror and disgust, I'm sure.
Big room. All right. So this is a tomb. So this is similar to the room you were just in. There's murals painted on the wall, as well as some tapestries. However, there is none of the black soot in this room. And as you guys go into the room, you actually feel the temperature drop. It's probably about 10 degrees cooler in this room. And you see in the middle of the room, raised up on a stone platform, is a sarcophagus. And kind of like the ancient Egyptian ones, the top of it is carved in this woman's likeness. So it looks like a stone version of her is like laying on this stone table. That's actually her coffin, basically. And you guys enter the room?
Yeah.
Before Wraith goes in, he's going to listen again to see if like the sounds have become louder or anything like that.
This is the room that that moaning sound is coming from, but it doesn't seem to be coming from a certain spot in the room. It just seems to be kind of coming from everywhere in this room.
And you said there was a sarcophagus carved to look like someone?
Yeah, it looks like the woman in the pictures with the red hair.
Samson, I think rather ignorantly, playing by the character, is going to approach that the sarcophagus, wherever it may lie. Feel free to put me wherever that is in your vision.
That's where the sarcophagus is.
Excellent. And he will press his ear upon it to see if the moaning comes from within.
It does not. It seems to actually be coming from the walls of this room. But as you guys enter, you see shifting in the shadows.
The shadow shifters.
Oh, very spooky.
And these are, you fought one of these before. These are the shadow, like they look like living shadows. And they seem to, as you guys see that, they seem to actually come out of the shadows in like the corners of the room and start flowing towards you.
Well, Webb is out.
Wraith holds his sword out between him and these ones to the bottom down here.
All right, you guys can roll initiative.
Wait, they're going to attack.
Oh, yeah.
Shocked.
Probably don't. Well, maybe not. Maybe they want to be friends.
Yeah.
Never know. Good app.
Oh, yeah. Steve, you weren't here last week. You don't get to. You haven't seen what these ones do yet.
Nope.
They're fun.
I assume they're weak and don't do anything.
Who wants to go first between Yorick and Azrael?
I have a one. Yeah, you can go.
Azrael does? Okay.
I have a zero, so I mean, you could go first, but.
When you guys tie, you can just pick if you want. I feel like that's quicker than comparing bonuses.
Yeah.
All right. I guess they go first.
Wow.
So.
That sucks.
That does suck.
We're not surprised, are we?
You're not surprised. So this one moves up to Yorick.
Actually, you know what? Just because I never get to use anything, I'm going to use one of my abilities that I've not ever been able to use.
Okay.
Let me find it real quick. Seize the initiative. What is my initiative? 14. There's a 17. I'll spend 2 points and make my initiative 18 by adding plus 4 to my initiative. All right. So I will go first. So I'm going to move as I seize the initiative from here to there, to there, to there. And I will use a bonus action to switch to iron durability and my regular action to strike thusly at this one.
Okay.
17 for 4, or probably 2.
Okay.
And I am done.
Oh, and at this point, I will say that the moaning sound, which seemed to be coming from the walls, is now coming from these guys. No. And they're all like moaning in unison. So it sounds like one sound coming from 6 different places.
Creepy.
Like the dead, sad courtiers of whoever this woman was.
All right. So this guy's going to go after Yorick, the boy wonder.
No.
He tries to reach out and touch you. 15.
Shield.
Okay.
So it does not. Makes his AC 11 plus 5, so 16. And I got to do the wild magic. No funktastic wild surge. Shield.
All right. So this guy attacks Yorick. Yorick puts up his magical shield, which keeps it away. Shadow number two is going to reach out for Samson. Samson's very brave, man. He's taken on two of them. 18, nope. And the other shadow will do the same thing. 15, nope. This shadow will come up to Wraith. 13,
no.
No. This shadow will come over to Wraith. 16.
It would, but he throws up a shield.
Wow, you guys with the shields.
Yeah, his looks way better than York's, though. In his mind, it does. They're probably like they're probably virtually identical, but he's like, no, no. Like,
so what does it look like? Describe it.
So his shield is actually this like azure sort of light. It's almost like skewing towards violet. And when he throws it up, he throws up his hand kind of like in a motion, and it spirals outwards from his hand, and then like almost like goes in each direction, like 360, like so it spirals out and then spreads. And as the thing reaches to touch it, it just hits like this violet sort of colored shield.
Nice. I like it. And the last one is going to reach out for Azrael. Oh, 23. I don't think I even need to ask. Yeah. Samson might have higher than 20 armor class, but I don't think anyone else does.
I can't have higher than 20.
But I do have resistance to necrotic.
Okay. That will probably come in handy. Let's see. Yep, this is necrotic coming at you. 11 necrotic. So you only take 5. And your strength score is reduced by 3.
There's no save against that?
No, there is not. Oof. And that will last until...
Long rest, if I remember correctly.
Short or long.
Short.
So, cool. So, yeah, this thing reaches out with its hand and, like, reaches its hand inside your chest, and you feel this icy cold, and you feel, like, your strength drain away. And anybody who's looking that way, or Azrael, you would probably notice that when this happened, her shadow gets significantly darker and seems almost to gain some kind of substance. And it's Azrael's turn.
Okay. She just kind of grins a little bit as she pulls her scythe around and slashes at the...
Nice.
How can I do zero slashing? Oh, it's just completely like, oh, I get it. Doesn't matter because I didn't hit, but even if I had hit, I would have done no damage, so.
Wow. Do you have a... Oh, because your strength is lower? Gotcha.
Yep.
Oh, man, that sucks. These guys really hurt the melee fighters.
Only the strength-based ones.
I fight with Dex, so...
Yorick!
Yeah, standing here is not really my scene, man. I'm going to use an action to disengage, and then I am going to run. Let's see, 5, 10. And what would it take me to climb up on top of this sarcophagus?
We'll just say like it'd just be like double the movement.
Okay.
So, to climb up. So it'd take so it'd be 10, like, 10 okay. of your moves.
So I'm at 20 of my movement right there. And when I get to the top, I'm going to have my tail like stick straight up in the air, and I'm going to have my 6-fingered hands out. And I'm going to be like, the power of your mistress, the Wed Waven, compels you to leave. And then I'm going to take the rest of my time to drop down the other side and cower.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, maybe that'll work. I can do a persuasion roll.
They go,
no persuasion? Okay. Didn't work.
Wraith.
He takes a free action to studiously ignore York out of the corner of his eye. And then he's going to use Green Flame Blade cantrip. So this sort of flame comes up his sword. He'll attack this one here with his sword.
Which one? And, I didn't see.
Sorry, the one right to the bottom.
Okay.
I thought I clicked my macro.
Sure. I was looking in the book, so I didn't see.
Oh, that. There we go. Ugh, ugly. I assume it's a miss.
Yes.
And that is his turn.
Samson.
I will strike at the same shadow with my rapier for a hit for 2 again, I think. Yeah, that's my turn. Yeah.
He says, oh. Well, they all say it. All right. Shadow number one is coming for York.
Spooky.
He passes through the sarcophagus because they can do that shit.
Man.
And 12.
You know, strength isn't really going to hurt me, but if your strength
hits zero, you die.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have enough to. All right. Another shield.
Okay. He hits the shield. What's your shield look like, York?
Well, this one, my tail whips up and it spins. And then the sort of a dome of reddish goop kind of surrounds him.
Cool. I dig it. All right. Number two is going to attack Samson. 19. Number three is going to attack Samson. Oh, 22.
Hey, baby, let's throw up that there shield.
Man, everybody's got freaking shields, man.
Except my shield comes in a different flavor. My AC is 24.
Nice. All right, so that's three. Wraith gets attacked. 11 gets attacked again. 17. 17.
He'll throw up the shield again.
All right. Another.
Talk about attrition.
I think your name should, your party name maybe should have the name Shield in it somehow.
Yeah.
The Iron Shield Maidens.
Eldritch Shield of Butterflies. I don't know.
The Eldritch Butterfly Shield.
Yeah. And the last one attacks Azrael. 7.
It misses. Woo! Two!
Yay! Success.
Azrael.
Azrael starts whispering at it.
Still undefeated.
13 wisdom. Okay.
Oh!
Well, apparently it is unafraid of her whispering.
So it takes 7 psychic? That is, that's actually going to hurt it. That's one of the few things that hurts it a lot. All right. And doesn't run away. Okay, cool. Yorick.
Trying to think of a way I can do some damage to this guy. All I got really is Firebolt.
Yeah, man, drop the hurt on him. Although you'll be at disadvantage, I guess.
Yeah. What I need to do is... Yeah, I'll drop the Firebolt on him, I guess. We'll see if that works, and then I can make additional decisions. Disadvantage
that'll
is
hit.
18 for 2. 2 fire damage.
The one right on top of you?
Yeah. Dang it. Full instruction, or I want to cast Expeditious Retreat, just to have it ready to go. I have to concentrate on it then, which is... Not great. That's what I'm going to do. So as a bonus action, I will cast Expeditious Retreat using a second level slot.
Okay.
That is going to be it.
Oh, my God. I'm such an idiot.
Great.
I am going to do something I should have done a long time ago,
okay.
Which is initiate the Blade Dance.
Oh, you can do that now?
The Blade Singing, yes.
Nice!
I don't know why I didn't do it, because it gives me a significant bonus to my AC. So he will do that, and then he will use it's called Green Flame Blade, but Wraith's is actually it's a violet light similar to a lot of his other magic.
Cool.
And he's going to use that again. He's going to attack with a sword the one immediately, I guess we'll say, below, and then the
you can call it Violet Flame Blade if you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. It's all about the flavor. As long as it does the same thing mechanically, who cares what it.
I'm cool with people's spells being, you know, whatever color they want.
Nice.
17 definitely hits. Is that a magic weapon now?
It is not, no.
Okay.
But what will happen is when he hits this guy, the violet flame will actually leap over and hit the other guy for the following amount of damage. 3.
Yeah, you should change your text from green flame.
Yes. I will do that now.
So does the blade singing do for anyone's benefit?
So anybody watching... he can use it, I think it's twice. It's a bonus action to start, lasts for 1 minute. He can use it twice and then needs a short or long rest. It gives me a bonus to AC equal to intelligence mod, an increase of walking speed by 10 feet, advantage on dexterity, acrobatics checks, and a bonus to any constitution saving throw to maintain concentration on a spell equal to the intelligence mod. So cool. It's pretty good for like a wizard that's in melee.
And you can use acrobatic to move through an enemy square.
All right.
You have to make a roll to do it, but you'll have advantage if you want to do that. So
nice. That's a good point, Lex. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, it's an optional thing in the DMG, but I like it because that was a big thing that used tumbling for back in the day, was to get behind people and stuff.
How would that affect provoking attacks of opportunity? Let's say, like, for argument's sake, that Wraith wants to get next to Azrael, and so he wanted to tumble through here to get there.
Yeah, it would still provoke. There's nothing about it that prevents that, unfortunately.
Gotcha. So that's the end of his turn, by the way.
All right. Samson.
Cool. He's going to continue his Salt the Tear versus the salt of the earth. I don't know. Against the last guy he just attacked, of course, the one in the top left. 13 for 11.
Okay. That's some damage. That'll
even. Oh, 13 hits?
Yes. 12 is the number.
Just to save some. Excellent. And yeah, that makes me done. Seeing as I'm in a very nice little triangle of shadows here, there's not much I can do.
All right. One of them attacks.
Hey, Rick's in a triangle of shadows too.
Samson, 16. Nope. Another one attacks Samson, 18. Nope. And one attacks Yorick.
Oh! Ouch.
Shield Yorick or no?
It's a crit. Wouldn't work, right? Crits always hit, don't they?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. 20 damage.
20 is the amount I have. I was going to check for concentration, but it's kind of moot now. So
splash.
Yeah.
And as if that wasn't bad enough, your strength is also reduced by 4.
Ooh, okay.
Wow. So
that happened. Yorick goes down. He's like, and yeah, I guess you guys can't really tell if he's dead or unconscious, but it's not good either way.
I was deliberately trying to hide on the other side of that thing, too. I just will point that out.
Hide from the shadows.
Yep.
Okay, Wraith, with the enhanced armor class of 5 and 21.
Let me just see. So I got 3 from that. Let's go with the shield. The shield will keep him safe one last time. Okay. He'll throw it up. This time it barely keeps him safe.
One is going to attack Azrael for 17. All right. So this is necrotic 12. Wow, these guys are tough.
Yeah.
And minus 1 strength. So 6 damage and 1 strength. And now it's your turn, Chrissy.
Even though she's going to take disadvantage on it, she's going to just get frustrated and throw an Eldritch Blast at it.
Sweet. That'll hit. 6 force.
Get the fuck away from me.
They are not resistant to force.
Get the fuck away from me.
Oh, and it pushes them, 10 feet?
Yeah.
Right? All right, pushes them back to there.
And since I still have my move, I am backing the fuck up.
Sweet. That's nice. That's a nice application of that. GTFO. All right. Yorick can make a death save when he comes back. Wraith.
Oh, it's all pretty horrible. He's going to attack this guy, and I need to check my macro because last time I was not adding my proficiency bonus, so I need to try and make sure that works on this one. And he'll use the green flame or the violet flame to play it again.
Okay.
So 20. Okay. Only 6 slashing damage though. That's to this fellow here.
The one below.
And then
you again.
No, the one up here. Oh, the one that was just hit.
That drops.
As he sees it, as he sees it come by him, he actually, like, as he's sort of like in his like quick dancing moves, he actually spins as it comes by him. So it may seem like 2 turns, but it's actually all at one time, and it comes flying, being pushed by the Eldritch Blast through his sword, and then as he spins around, he points that sword at this guy here, and the flame leaps off of it to hit him. Free fire.
Now we're dancing.
I have no spell slot.
That was a nice one too, you and Chrissy did there. That was nice.
Yeah. Bit of teamwork. Yeah. Thank you, Ezreal.
Dwayne, you can do a death save. We skipped you.
And that's Wraith's turn.
Okay. Yay. He makes it. Samson.
I'm going to continue my assault on the same guy on the top left. Not a lot I can do. 16 for 8 for 4. Whatever.
All right.
I'm done. Hey, you got to whittle away at him.
Yeah, you're wearing him down, man.
And I am done because I can't move without taking an opportunity attack.
All right. One attacks Samson. 9. Not going to do it. Not even close. Another one attacks Samson. And I guess another one attacks Samson.
Yeah.
One attacks Wraith. 7. And another one attacks Wraith.
That'll do it.
All right. So that is 7 necrotic.
That definitely hurts.
And you're going to lose 2 strength.
Okay. He looks even weaker than he normally does.
Oh, the sword's so heavy. Luckily, it's an elven sword, so it weighs like half the normal amount. So, Azrael.
Quickly realizing she's not being pursued, she'll cautiously step up here and see what she can see. Clear line on that one, so Eldritch Blast it.
Nice.
Nope. It's just going to kind of whizzes past his face.
More like a shotgun.
I always picture Eldritch Blast kind of like a proton pack beam, you know?
I think Iron Man just every time.
That's cool too. Or no, I'm thinking Witch Bolt. Witch Bolt's the one that like stays on him, right?
Yeah.
That's the one I think of the proton pack thing. All right. Yorick, roll a 20, man. That'd be awesome.
That would be.
Not a 2.
It was a fail.
That's like a 20, but it's missing the.
I forgot the 0.
Wraith.
Let me just remind myself. Second Wind, I think, is a bonus action, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thank you for the reminder. He's going to use that now.
Don't you have the thing, too, where you get like 2 actions for a turn?
No, he would only get that if he went to a second level in Fighter.
Okay.
He won't do that in the near future, at least. Like, who knows, maybe later. But he's got to recover some spell casting. Okay, so he does that, and then he's going to Green Flame or Violet Flame Blade. He'll attack this guy.
Okay.
Sword attack. 16 for 11.
Nice.
It's pretty good, right? And then the flame leaps to this fellow who sustains the following.
Okay.
3. And that's his turn.
Samson.
Same guy. 23 for 8. For nice. 4. And I am done.
He's just barely hanging on.
Yeah.
He actually starts to like dissipate and then somehow pulls back together. Pulls himself back together.
He's got like pinpricks of light like shining through him from the rapier blows.
All right, this one's against Samson, 17. Nope. And another one, 8.
Nope.
And another one, 19. Nope. This one's against Wraith, 12. Nope. And another one, 23. Man.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, that'll hit.
These guys are brutal. 12 necrotic. That's a lot.
Yeah, he's starting to look not very good. He feels horrible right now.
3 more from your strength.
How much strength you got left, Steve?
Not much, man. I got, it's not much. One more and I might be dead.
Oh, good.
I'm into the range of one more, I might be dead. I'm not sure what the carry weights are and stuff like that, but there's a chance that I might not be able to move much more. I've got 3 strength left.
Well, encumbrance covers your movement speed. So
yeah, let's not worry about that. We'll say your adrenaline is gonna keep you going at least till the fight's over. As far as like,
I mean, I can't really run away anyways. Like, where am I gonna go?
All right, that's all the shadows. Azrael,
help the wizard guy.
All right, Samson, yell up here.
My name is Wraith.
Wraith.
He's gonna cast Dissonant Whispers at that guy.
Okay. Wisdom save. 2.
It 16. Takes 16 psychic damage, and then it runs the fuck away, giving Wraith an attack of opportunity.
It actually doesn't run away because you just destroyed it.
Okay.
Nice.
It was either dead or running the fuck away. Yeah. One of the 2.
Well played.
Thank you, Ezreal.
Yeah, they do not have resistance to psychic. I think psychic, radiant, force are about the only things they don't have resistance or immunity to. Yorick, roll a 20.
That's 2 again.
That's 2.
Stop telling him to roll a 20.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that anymore. Next time I'll say roll a 2, and then you'll roll a 20.
And I don't have a healing potion on me. I used it on Azrael.
I got nothing, man.
I have a healing potion. You didn't use it on Azrael.
I used it on someone.
Wraith.
He will, just straight up attack this guy.
Okay.
No violet flame since it does no good. 20 for 8.
Nice.
How does he look?
He is barely does he look hanging wispy? On. Yeah. Not quite as wispy as the one by Samson, but pretty wispy.
You know, I'm gonna have to stick that here. If nothing else, I can prevent it from getting to Asriel for a turn. Maybe she can help somebody else. So that's it for him.
Samson.
See if we can put this dude down. Oh, miss.
Oh, by one. Just barely grazed him. All right.
I'm done. Thank you.
Shadow attacks Samson. 18. No. Another shadow. 14. No. Another shadow. No. 16. And a shadow attacks Wraith.
18. Oh, God.
23. No, that's enough, though.
Does that hit you?
Oh, that hits him.
Oh, no.
Will he die?
10 necrotic.
He will go down. He goes down. How much strength damage does he take, though? That's the real... That's the jam right there.
3?
No, yeah,
he's dead.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It's okay. I'll make the cleric.
That's what I was going to say if my guy dies.
Honestly, I'm interested in the class, but for whatever reason, the character concept hasn't come that much together for me. So.
Oh, you're not digging Wraith?
I don't know. I just like for whatever reason I haven't come up with a good personality for him, which is really to me kind of essential. So him dying, I'm not gonna cry over it.
So this is our fourth session and we've had two characters die. Maybe I need to dial it back a bit. I don't know. This was not a deadly encounter.
I don't know. I actually kinda like it. Okay. I felt like Tyranny of Dragons was a little too easy sometimes.
Too easy? Okay.
I don't know about that.
So Wraith goes down with this thing's like hands in his chest. And you see... wait, hang on. Let me make sure...
This is gonna suck.
Oh, yeah. I gotta roll for this. Okay. We'll deal with that later. So you died from the strength drain, right?
Steve? Yeah.
So there's no death saves or anything.
No, zero strength. Dead. That's the downside when you play, the dexterity based guy.
Yeah.
It strength to start. So like these guys are straight up ready to cream.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem with our party though. It's we're all arcane casters, so like none of us have strength.
Yeah.
I'm gonna step up to have a clear shot at this one. Eldritch Blast.
Okay. Well, there's no cover. Dead elves don't provide cover. that drops him.
Unlike Starwalker memoir. Dead elves don't provide cover.
Ed's body just kind of blasts away.
I'm sorry. I should
everywhere.
Make jokes.
It blasts like everywhere.
This is a somber moment. We should have a moment of silence.
I don't know. We didn't even really get to know this guy. Let's remember him for the glorious asshole he was that first session.
Yeah, Azrael blasts that one into oblivion. Yorick.
Death number two? Number two.
Yorick's dead.
Oh, no. Actually, it's death number three.
Death number three.
Death of the campaign.
Oh, man. Oh,
that's cool.
Samson suddenly feels very alone.
Yeah.
You know what, man? We're dummies. Why didn't we just go with that Sproke guy? He was the wisest of us all.
Wow.
All right, Samson.
What is
Let's
next?
See if we can put this guy down.
Just open up my clear sand.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, yeah.
Smash.
That's more than enough.
I really liked Yorick, too.
I did, too.
Yeah, well-made sorcerer is pretty cool. But alas.
I don't care about the character class. This is a good concept. Good concept.
All right, Samson, you're getting all the love, it looks like.
No.
Not with that roll. No love there. 20?
Two. I'll spend a point.
Okay.
Go down to 9, 22 AC.
All right.
Still Asriel. Untouched.
You guys might be able to pull this out just because Samson's practically unhittable. Unless they roll a 20.
At some point, I run out of points.
Asriel, this one has cover from Asriel, right?
Yeah, it'd be like a +2 to its AC, probably.
She's
that one doesn't.
Clear shot on that.
Or if you moved like up here-ish, you
She's not moving farther in the room.
Cover.
My question is she going to stay and fight, or is she going to get the fuck out of here?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Nope, she's a dick. She's leaving. Bye.
Okay. Well, guys, now we get to play Watch Nathan Roll Dice.
Samson's like, it, you better hope I don't live, you bitch!
How far can she move? That's 10.
Oh, man. I actually thought about using, I thought about being a little bit less heroic and using my Misty Step to get out of there. But no, like I get, like if I can eat one attack, like then Azrael can do
something. Don't make it about that far.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Azrael's the die for my friends kind of warlock. Does it seem like?
I haven't met one yet.
Hey, there's the Dying Light warlock. They don't have to be evil or nearly so or whatever.
Azrael is not evil.
Right. But I'm saying steps. Like they don't have an evil patron, I guess is what I'm trying
to say.
I'll
strike at the bottom one.
All right.
12 for 4, I think.
That will hit a 5 miss. And a 22.
I'll make it miss.
Okay. Azrael, you continue to run away?
Yep.
It, Chrissy, if you're just going to run away, like you're going to be able to get away because you guys cleared everything up to this point. So
yep,
I'll just okay. take you.
I'll just
me and Nathan will throw dice at each other for a while.
Speed combat, bottom one, of course, 17 for 4. Take the 2 points, be done.
All right,
this reminds me of going heads up in a game of Texas Hold'em. You know, it's just like the hands are going so quick.
Yeah, 15.
Miss.
Nope.
Miss. 16 for 7. So take 3. Bottom one.
Shit out, man.
Oh, you crit me!
Oh no. Well, I guess I might as well just kill everybody, right? At this point.
TPK, I guess, you know? We'll come back with a new... We'll have to come up.
I go down to 10.
Hey, at least it's early in the session. Everybody has time to make new characters and we can...
Yeah.
What class was Fabio again? I want to be that guy.
He was a paladin. I got to do the strength drain.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah.
One.
One. Strength 9.
21.
I'll make it miss.
Okay.
And then I will strike the bottom one, 22 for take 3.
If you get out of this, Nathan, this will be epic. It'll be something to tell your grandkids about.
How fast these things move, like
this. I could outrun them if I switched to surge of speed. I mean, that wouldn't be a problem.
Just thinking,
but I don't want
you
to.
Might want to just
bottom one.
Okay.
No. 16 for so take take 2. If shit turns shit, it's not a problem. But I'm not worried right now. I'm done.
I feel like Nathan has the upper hand right now, at least until he runs out of psionic points.
Miss. Bottom one again. 22 for 5. Can I roll higher damage, please?
Oh, no.
You hurt me again. I'm going to die, friends.
17.
17. I go down.
Oh, no. Well,
yep.
I think that's my first TPK.
Yeah.
It's not a TPK because technically Azrael's not dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Azrael, all she really needs to do is take a short rest and she could go back in and probably take those two out.
Azrael already died once, though.
Yeah, that's
she
true.
She died once, but she is technically alive right now.
The power that brought you back to life turns off and you die.
The power that brought me back to life can't turn off.
Who's to say it can't?
I mean, he could come and kill me, but he can't turn off.
Okay, well, I guess I'm dead.
Primordia, the meat grinder.
I guess.
I assume they ravage my body.
Please?
Probably, yeah.
Like, I mean, there's got to be some upside.
Because I don't want to lose Samson. I wrote a lot of stuff for him, but if I do, oh well.
Well, there's 3 more shadows characters in the world now.
Yeah.
One looks a lot like Samson. One looks a lot like Rafe. And one looks a lot like Yorick.
Now, I feel like if Azrael didn't run away, we would have won that easily.
Yeah, I think you probably
would have. So that kind of sucks, I got to say.
The problem is it was at the point where Azrael was like, stay and maybe win or run away and survive, guaranteed. And Azrael...
The amount of tanking that I did, I feel like you could have blown him to pieces easily.
Yeah, but Azrael didn't feel confident because she didn't have any spells left. She only had pretty much Eldritch Blast.
The best Warlock spell?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's fine. It's just we would have won if we wouldn't have run away. I mean, I can't guarantee that.
You would have at least taken down one of them.
We probably would have won if she stayed, but she wasn't willing to risk that.
So there we are. That obviously is the end of this chapter of my Primordia campaign. We pretty much had a total wipe. Azrael did escape, but she's the only one. And also something, you know, I'm going to let everybody know now that none of the players knew or know until they listen to this, if any of them listen to it. But I think it's very likely that Azrael did not survive that encounter long. And the reason is you may remember in a previous episode that she actually died and came back under mysterious circumstances. And basically what happened there was she was returned to life by her patron, the great old one, Zargon. And I told Chrissy, the player who played Azrael, that she seemed a little different. If you're familiar with the show Supernatural, I know Chrissy is. I told her I was going to do something similar to how people behave in that show when they lose their soul. How they're just not quite the same as what they were. She really digged that idea and said she was cool with that. So what nobody knew, because I didn't tell anyone because I was going to, you know, have this be revealed later, is she really did lose her soul. Zargon has her soul. And so contrary to what Chrissy thought and what she said during the gameplay, he could undo the resurrection. It wasn't a normal resurrection spell. He basically took her soul and returned her to life, some semblance of life. But it is something that he could and would undo at any moment, at his whim. And my reasoning for all that tied in to the greater plot of what's going on in my world of Primordia right now, which unfortunately the players didn't get far enough to uncover much of that or any of it, really. So I'm not going to reveal any of that because that would spoil future campaigns and adventures. But in order for her to be part of that plot, like she kind of had to be part of this group, kind of be part of the guild. And, you know, kind of sounds like this was the end of Azrael's adventuring career. And as soon as it became clear to Zargon that she wasn't going to be any use to him, he would have undone the fell magic that was keeping her alive. So in my mind, basically a total wipe. So we had some great one-liners in this episode. Dead elves don't provide cover, by yours truly. You better hope I don't live, you bitch. Maybe Samson's last words. Primordia the meat grinder, courtesy of Dwayne. And yeah, so those were pretty entertaining. So I thought I would just briefly talk about something that happened in this session, because I think that this is a great example to use for a quick discussion about, you know, the social contract at the gaming table. And this is going to be different for every group. A great source of information and insight on this is check out the Total Party Thrill podcast. They did an episode on social contracts, and definitely check that out. It's really good stuff. I've thought about having an episode myself on social contracts, but I'm not sure that I could say much more about it beyond what they said. They did such a great job with it, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So, you know, we had basically a TPK at the end of this session. You know, things started going south. As a DM, a lot of times it's kind of easy to sit back behind the screen and see what's happening. And it's oftentimes easy to kind of see where the players went wrong and kind of where they turned that corner, where it went from a situation that could be salvaged to one
that can't and is not going to end well. Unfortunately, I think in this session, that point was when Azrael decided to run away. Things were pretty grim at that point, but, you know, Samson has crazy armor class and, you know, he's very good at, quote, tanking. And I think, you know, with the two of them there, I think there's a very real chance that they would have prevailed. And in fact, it's pretty much guaranteed they would have prevailed as long as the dice weren't super against them, because I would have, if necessary, used some DM Fiat or some fudging or whatever to, you know, help them succeed, because it was not my intention to wipe the party at this point and end the campaign. So I would have helped them out in some way. You know, as a DM, I've always got tricks up my sleeve to help out the players if I need to. But unfortunately, Chrissy, the player, decided that her character would flee. And at that point, I kind of felt like my hands were tied. You know, it's like, yeah, I could have stepped in to save Samson and the rest of the party, and I considered it. But it still would have been the end of the campaign as we know it, because, you know, Chrissy's character would not have been a part of the party anymore after that. There's just no way that any of them would want anything to do with their character after she ditched him like that. So I, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to decide what to do. So I decided to just let the dice fall as they may. And then I rolled that fateful 20, which was the only number that could hit Samson. And that was the end. So then, we had, after that, you know, we discussed what to do, and, you know, I put forth the idea of, you know, we could rewind the encounter and try it again. This is something I've never done, and it's not really something I'm a fan of, but I've heard of other groups doing it. And I was like, well, if everybody really likes their characters, you know, it's better to do that than to have everybody re-roll and everybody's unhappy, right? Because at the end of the day, the whole point of this is just to have a good time, right? And that's really more important than the rules or anything else. However, when we had that discussion, pretty much no one was really keen on that. Some of the people were just like not really so much into their characters. Chrissy and Steve specifically, you know, said that they weren't really interested in playing those characters anymore. Nathan was kind of on the fence. I think he liked Samson as a character, but he wasn't a huge fan of the psionics rules. And Dwayne, I guess Dwayne probably would have wanted to keep playing York, but the group decision was to make new characters. Now, at the time that all this happened, I wasn't super happy about the way things turned out, but it was just. You know, in my mind, it was just kind of like, well, it was one of those things, you know, maybe if Azrael wouldn't run away, they wouldn't have wiped, but, you know, that's what she chose to do, whatever, you know. And I was kind of like, I wasn't happy about it, but I was just kind of like, well, you know, shit happens sometimes, right? Well, one of the nice things about doing these games on YouTube is, you know, I get to see them again, right? And, you know, in this case, with these actual play episodes in the podcast, I actually see these quite a few times, because first I do an editing pass to put it on YouTube, and then I do another editing pass when I do the actual play episodes for the podcast. So that means that all of these sessions I've seen at least two times in their entirety, and some of them more than two times, which is a really great way to learn a lot about what's going on in the game. And, you know, that's the best advice I can give to any GM to learn how to be a better GM and to improve, is to be able to watch yourself GM, because it's amazing the difference in perspective just watching it and not being in the moment. And you just notice things, not only that you're doing as a GM, but that the players are doing, that you just didn't notice during the game because you're just so busy, you know, dealing with all these things you deal with as a GM. So when I was editing this episode, it really bothered me. And, you know, one thing that I kind of missed, or I didn't put together at the time, that was kind of a camel that broke the or camel that broke the straw's back, a straw that broke the camel's back for me was the fact that right before Azrael fled, Wraith was considering running away. And Steve decided to stay, even knowing that there was a very good chance his character was going to die, because he thought that as a team, they could win this, you know? And he was thinking of it from a team perspective. And then right after that, you know, we have Azrael faced with the same decision, and Chrissy decides that she's going to run away and leave Samson to die and all the other characters to die, because at this point, no one was actually dead. They were just knocked out, right? Incapacitated. Or maybe someone might have died from strength damage, but anybody that just died from hit point loss, they're not dead yet, right? They're not dead yet. So she decided to ditch the party and basically guarantee, take a situation that was maybe going to be a TPK and turn it into a guaranteed TPK by running away. And her reason for that was, well, that's what my character would do. And if you listen to the Total Party Thrill podcast episode on Social Contract, they very eloquently sum up my feelings on that excuse, which is, you know, that's what my character would do is not an excuse for doing something that is going to ruin the game for other people at the table or make it less fun or anything like that. You know, ideally, your player character is just as complex and realistic of a person as you are, right? I mean, that's what we're striving for in role-playing, is to make these characters as realistic as possible. And no one is just a two-dimensional person who always reacts to every situation in the same way every time, right? There are exceptions all the time. You know, like I might say, oh, in this situation, I would normally do X. But that doesn't mean that in a given time, I might not do Y or Z instead, just because I'm in a different mood. It's a Tuesday. I'm tired. You know, who knows? You know, so for a player to do something that is basically antisocial in the game and to justify it by saying that's what my character would do, it doesn't wash. Because your character does whatever you, as a player, decide your character does. You know, you're not locked into these parameters where you just have to oh, if X happens, I have to do Y. It doesn't work that way. You get to decide what your character does through role-playing. And you can decide that your character does anything and come up with a way to justify that and make that make sense in the character and have it be in character. Right? Everybody does things occasionally that are out of character. You know, so even though maybe normally Azrael in that situation would run away, Chrissy could have very easily come up with a reason why in this particular instance she doesn't run away. Right? So, you know, again, you know, listening to that again in the edit, it really bothered me. And I was like, you know, that was really uncool. And I have really great players, so I guess I don't know that no one was super upset by it, but at least no one let on that they were super upset by it, and everybody just went on, and we actually did make new characters. We started a new adventure in Primordia, and, you know, things went on. But, you know, as a DM, you know, going over it later, that really bothered me, and, you know, that's something, if I ever see anything like that happen at a table I'm running again, I am going to nip that in the bud so hard, because that is that was the end of the campaign, and it was a selfish decision and an antisocial decision, and I feel bad as a DM that I let that happen. I should have stepped in and done something, you know. I mean, I can't play someone's character for them, you know, but I don't know. I think what I probably should have done, because this is a show about GMing, right? So, you know, looking back, how could I have handled that differently? You know, I probably what I should have done is just said, you know, Chrissy, that's not cool. You know, maybe you think your character would do that, and maybe sometimes your character would do that. But, you know, this is a game we're playing together, And part of the social contract is you don't steal from each other. You know, I don't like PvP. You don't try to kill each other's characters. And, you know, leaving someone's character to die when you could save them is just as much killing their character as attacking them and killing them, or choosing not to stabilize them when they're making death saving throws, or whatever. You know, I mean, I get irritated with groups where there's a player on the ground bleeding out or making death saves and the other players don't do anything about it. You know, that to me is antisocial, but a lot of times it's just players that don't understand the system well enough to know that they really need to get on that and handle that. And, you know, usually you point it out and they're more than happy to rectify that. But, yeah, so, you know, I could have said something to her and said, you know, I'm really, you know, I hope that you can rethink this decision because I don't think it's cool. And then if she, you know, was adamant, you know, this is what I'm going to do, then I think at that point, what I should have done is as her character was fleeing, she gets jumped by something else and gets killed because she's all by herself. And we could have rolled the dice. You know, I could have, you know, avoided just saying your character dies. You know, we could have rolled it out fair and square. And at the same time, pull one of my tricks to save the rest of the party, you know, because I think what was going on in my head at the time when I was running the game was, you know, these are decisions that the party is making and the party is going to suffer the consequences. But now looking back, I realized that that was an individual decision and it was very individual to the detriment of the group. Right. And I should not have let an individual decision like that affect the rest of the party. And I shouldn't have let that stop me from stepping in and having an ally show up or something, you know, to avoid the TPK. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I am not a guru. I am not a perfect GM. I make mistakes all the time. And I try to learn from them. So this is a mistake that I made that I'm not happy with. I'm still very unhappy about it, you know, and it's been like, I think the session was on Thanksgiving. So it's been a few months and it still really bothers me, because I really feel like I failed as a GM to manage the table, which is one of the many jobs that the GM has, is managing the table, managing the players, and making sure that things are happening in a way that's good for everyone and good for the group as a whole, right? I think, you know, another shout out to Total Party Thrill. I think if I would have heard their episode on the social contract, which really helped me kind of codify and just really focus in on, you know, what's really important and these ideas that I've always had but never really thought about discreetly. I think maybe if I would have heard that episode before this happened, I would have handled it differently. But we'll never know. Can't go back in time. So all I can do is learn from this and do everything in my power to ensure that something like this never happens at a table again. So hopefully you can learn from my mistakes and we can all be better GMs for it. So as I said, we did start a new adventure in Primordia. The players made new characters. However, we got a ways into that and we had some personnel changes, let's just put it that way. And so I was in a position where I needed to find some new players and whatnot. And about that time, I found out I was going to be getting Curse of Strahd soon. So I proposed to the players playing through Curse of Strahd just to see, you know, if people would be keen on that. Turns out everybody's a Ravenloft fan, which I guess doesn't really surprise me. And they're super keen to do Curse of Strahd. So we are going to start Curse of Strahd in the next week or two, hopefully. And I will be streaming that on YouTube. I will have those videos up on YouTube. And I may possibly produce those as actual play episodes for Game Master's Journey, just like I did this short little Primordia adventure. So this is your chance. If you're someone who loves actual play and you want actual play as part of Game Master's Journey, let me know. if you are someone who hates actual play and having actual play episodes as part of Game Master's Journey would really bother you, even though you can just not listen to them and not download them, let me know. So basically, if you have a strong opinion either way, let me know, and that will help me to decide whether or not I will do that. Right now, the biggest factor for me in that decision is whether or not I want to devote the massive amount of time it takes to edit all this stuff for actual play. And a big part of that decision will be my feeling of how many of you actually care and want that kind of thing. If there's enough of you that really want it, then it's worth it for me to do it, right? But if there's just a handful of people that even listen to these things, then it's really not worth the time. Sorry, unless you're going to pay me to do all that editing just for a few people. So yeah, this is your chance to let me know. And then, you know, it's kind of like voting. You know, if you don't weigh in, then you kind of waive your right to complain in the future about whichever decision I make if you don't weigh in. Assuming you have an opinion. I think most people probably don't care because they're just like, well, I don't really like actual play, but I just won't listen to those episodes. And I very clearly label them so you can do that and just avoid those if you don't want them. I have had one or two people suggest doing a separate feed, and for a host of reasons, I'm not going to do that. So I'm either going to do the actual play and it will be part of Game Master's Journey, or I won't do the actual play. Right now, doing a separate podcast just for that is not an option that's on the table right now. But regardless, I will be streaming them and they will be on YouTube. All right. Well, that, I think, is going to wrap up episode 91. If you want to reach me, you can email me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. Follow me on Google+, like Starwalker. Follow me on Twitter, @likeStarwalker. Visit the website, starwalkerstudios.com. I want to give a huge shout out and thank you to my tier 5 patron, Mr. Steve Strickland. Let's hear it for Steve. Yeah. Woo! Go, Steve. Yeah. So thank you, Steve, for your support of Starwalker Studios and the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the patrons. Really appreciate it. And if you would like to learn more about becoming a patron, head on over to starwalkerstudios.com, go into the show notes for Game Master's Journey. You'll find a Patreon button at the top of the show notes. Just click on that. Take you to my Patreon page over at patreon.com/starwalkerstudios, and you can learn more about becoming a patron. One reward that you can get if you're a patron of tier 3 level or higher is you will get access to a monthly podcast I do just for the patrons. So I hope you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I'll be back soon with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Cloudwalker, Renfield, Tranceboy, and Ish. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney.